are listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball,
a podcast
by fans from the iubase.com website.
For anyone wanting more information on the Indiana University baseball program.
Welcome. We're recording this on Monday, March 16th, 2020. I'm Josh Bennett, joined by the master of the RPI, Carl James, stats guru, Cassidy Palmer, and the man himself, Chris Feeney. It was an interesting week, to say the least. Some games were played, but at this point, it's hard to recall much that happened in those games. And that's what this pod is going to center around. So let's just set the stage. With this, we were lucky enough to get a few minutes with the director of events for Indiana Athletics, Mr. John Bauer. He's the guy that kind of takes care of the BART on the baseball end. He does other things for different sports, but he gave us his view on how things unfolded from Wednesday evening to Thursday afternoon, with domino after domino falling into what ended up being the complete shutdown of all U.S. sports.
Sure. And before, you know, before I say anything, I just want to throw out the little disclaimer that I'm speaking to represent myself. I'm not speaking as someone who represents the athletic department or Indiana University. So don't take anything that I say as this is what Indiana University is thinking, or this is what Indiana University is saying. I'm just saying as a human being who loves college athletics, who loves college baseball, loves to be around, you know, that whole atmosphere. It's kind of what I was going through. So, you know, it started out Wednesday. We were at the game and, you know, we're playing Cincinnati and we'd heard some rumblings, but nothing too serious. And then all of a sudden it came across that the Big Ten was going to close their events to the general public. The game's over. I had a meeting with Scott Jornstead, who's the baseball administrator, sport administrator, and we set up a meeting for the next day because it was like, you know, we're going to know a whole lot more. And then that night, you know, the NBA cancels, and I'm like, you know, and the NBA is kind of a different beast, and they're indoor, we're outdoors. So I thought, you know, we'll probably be all right. And then, you know, so I got to work the next morning around 8:30, and all of the senior staff were in closed doors meetings. And when senior staff are in a closed door meeting, sometimes that's just not good. And given the situation the night before, that sure isn't what I wanted to see. So you kind of start to get that ominous feeling. And then I'm walking down the hall a little bit later and I come in contact with one of our senior administrators. And, you know, I was just lamenting to her a little bit. I was frustrated that we weren't going to be able to have fans at the game because that's such a crucial part of the atmosphere. But at the same time, I'm glad that at least we weren't like the Ivy League where, you know, they just canceled everything. And so, and she just kind of looked at me and she said, well, better be thankful because we were a lot closer to that than you might think. And I'm like, oh, man. You know, I start having this pit and in my stomach because I'm like, something's coming. And then, of course, I can't talk to anybody because we have to be so careful not to let anything out to the media or to somebody who might let it out to the media. So a lot of times we have to internalize this stuff and we can't really let anybody know. And, you know, about 11:49, the Big Ten canceled the Big Ten tournament, basketball tournament. And I just knew, I said, okay, that's not going to be good. What I was still hoping was that, hey, we just won't be able to play this weekend, but things will get in place and we'll be able to play soon. When the SEC at 12:30, when the SEC announced they were just going to suspend play, I knew, okay, this is not good. Because I knew if the SEC, who's the big boy, I knew when they shut down, we were not going to be able to continue, although I still hope that we would. And then at 12:38, Kendall Rogers announced that the Pac-12, CAA, and Horizon League had all suspended. And then we started our meeting at 1 o'clock to discuss how we were going to go forth with baseball. Still optimistic that we weren't going to be able to do it, or that we were going to be able to do it. And then during that meeting, Mountain West and Conference USA suspended. And it's just one domino after another, and you know what's coming. And then as soon as that meeting ended, we reached out to Memphis. It was around 1:25, and Memphis said that they had stopped for lunch and that their administrator, support administrator, called them and told them to stay until further notice because they were expecting word from their American conference. And so then, you know, I'm sitting in my office waiting for that return phone call, 1:36, the NHL suspended. I got all these times off of Twitter because I was just like you guys. I was sitting there. I was refreshing Twitter constantly. And then the NHL suspended. And then 1:40, Memphis calls us back and says, hey, the AAC just told us to turn around and come home, that they're suspending. But we still couldn't announce that because we had to wait for the AAC to announce. And then at that point, we're having meetings. Hey, is the Big Ten going to do this? What are we thinking? And it's like, well, the Big Ten's probably going to do it. And then, you know, you just cascading it, you know, Duke suspends, Kansas suspends, the ACC, and then, you know, the ACC suspends, Major League Baseball suspends. Then AAC finally announces, hey, they're going to do it. And for me, the final nail, my heart just sunk at this point because I knew we were done. You know, 4:17, Kendall Rogers announced that the College World Series was over. And I just, I mean, that hurt. And then finally at 4:25, the Big Ten canceled. And that was, for me, I've never seen, I never thought the NCAA would give up the NCAA March Madness tournament. So much rides on that. And when they gave that up, plus they canceled College World Series, it was devastating. And, you know, people kind of get upset because of us in athletics. They think, all you care about is yourself. And it's just sports when all these people could die from this flu and from this pandemic. And but what they don't understand, and this is something that I know, and I think you guys suspect this too, that's all these kids have worked for since the time they were five or maybe younger. I mean, Bo, you've got Bo throwing right now. You have Bo practicing, you have Bo hitting. Yep. And so these kids, from the time they're able to walk, they've been training for this, and they have 4 years to get that done, maybe five, you know. And so for me, you know, you think about, my heart just sank for all of those college athletes have spent their whole careers training for this one, you know, 4 year window. And now 4 year window closes on them. And at that time, we didn't even know if they'd get that time back, and maybe they will, maybe they won't. You know, that's hard for somebody to take. You have a dream, and now all of a sudden, that dream has died, and there's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, I've been proud of some of that. A lot of the athletes have come out and been very gracious about saying, hey, it's not about me. It's about more than me. But at the same time, I know, because I see it, I see how hard they work, in the weight room, how hard they're, you know, they're just constantly doing their thing.
Well, that pretty much takes us through the events that took place on Thursday. Now, on Friday, the NCAA's Division I Coordination Committee took the extremely quick step of letting spring sports athletes know that another year of eligibility was indeed going to happen for them. Now, that is pretty much all the committee said in its statement. It was very quick. Hey, athletes, we hear you. This isn't your fault. If you want to play another year, your NCAA eligibility is not what's going to be standing in your way. Now, the devil is often in the details, and the NCAA rules are often loaded with details that make even lawyers squirm. Probably not a coincidence that IU's outgoing and long-term athletic director Fred Glass happens to be a lawyer, too. Under normal circumstances, these are the limitations that would apply. 11.7 equivalent scholarships per program, maximum. Spread out evenly among a maximum of 27 student athletes. Each of those scholarships has to be at least worth 25% of a full ride. a maximum of 35 eligible players are declared on the roster at the start of the season. No additions can be made. A transfer from one Division I school to another, just like in basketball and football, requires that the student athlete sit out a year. Eligibility must be expended within a 5-year time frame. And a D1 baseball player is eligible again for the major league draft at the age of 21 or after the third year of Division I eligibility. So those are the rules. And the question is, how are those rules potentially going to be flexed to help accommodate the extra year of eligibility that a lot of these players are going to take? So I think I'm going to kind of let it go out now to the panel to discuss, you know, what's happening.
Well, I think it's so much is up in the air, right? Because the focus was going to be on shutting everything down, like John spoke about. And thanks, John. That was bringing us through that was really impressive, and we're lucky to have it. And I think people are going to really get a lot out of just being able to take in that day and what it was about. But as far as the adding players, what happened to me when I first heard about this, I was like, oh, the seniors, you know, I was happy for them. I was like, all right, cool. They can come back if they want. And then I started looking at it like, oh, this is everybody. This is everybody can get an extra year, which then is going to affect every class. And it's now a 4 or 5 year cycle. That's going to be different than college. It's basically college baseball could be a whole new world is what it is. This goes all the way back into recruits of high school. Like if I had the math right, it's a sophomore in high school would be the first guy it doesn't affect. That's how far back it's going to go. It has to be that way, though, because you can't just give the seniors, right? They've decided to do everybody. And now, is a junior want to come back? Does a junior want to stay? A sophomore now. Now you'd have freshmen, if their age is correct, they could be eligible for a draft. When is the draft? No one knows, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a draft this year? So much is up in the air. But I think it's a great opportunity that the NCAA has given these guys. Obviously not their fault. The United States is a national pandemic. You can't go play baseball. The kids aren't going to classes. You can't have 35 of them travel the country and play a game. You just can't do it. As much as I miss sports and everything, you can't do it. This is a national thing. Please, they just announced something about it. They don't want gatherings of 10 people. You know what I mean? So obviously that's the priority, and health is the priority, and everyone gets that. And I'm glad these guys will get an extra year. But how it's going to affect this sport going forward is really something that I'm, eager or I really want to know what it's going to do and how it's going to change and how it's going to affect the team, to be honest. Because when this is all over, it's going to be about sports again. And I really want to see how it's going to affect our program and the way we run things.
I think you have to look at each one of these issues individually. And I think part of what's interesting is that all the breakdowns I laid out have been controversial for a while now. Mm-hmm. So our friends at the 11.7 podcast, that number didn't come out of thin air. There's a reason they named their podcast 11.7, and it's because of the scholarship limit. And you know, those of us who follow this game closely are just 11.7 scholarships spread out over 27 scholarship athletes to fill out a roster of 35 guys. So there had been discussions long before we got into the what we're dealing with right now about the potential of a making seniors exempt from this, so that any team could in fact give full scholarships to seniors that would not count against this limit. So some have said, well, if you go ahead and apply that now, then that makes up for it, because basically you again have 11.7 scholarships spread out amongst 4 classes, and then one class is basically exempted. Anyone in that class, as long as they've been in the program for at least, you know, one full academic year before, can be applied the full scholarship. And it's up to the schools to determine, you know, whether they're going to give those particular guys those full scholarships. I find it also interesting from Indiana's perspective, because Indiana has the program that allows you to go professionally. So you take your draft And then because of the player bill of rights, those players can actually come back and get a full scholarship. There are guys from like 8 years ago that have come back after that weren't that where the bill of rights didn't exist when they were playing and have now come back and take advantage of it and actually completed their degree at Indiana University with a full scholarship because of this particular program. So I think we know that Indiana would be a program that would support and allow that to go. But the question is, you know, this is going to be a lot of different programs that are going to get involved with, you know, determining what they're going to do, determining what the rules are going to be. Mm-hmm. And hey, everybody's going to have different angles in this.
And you're going to have even the Ivy League, where if you're a grad student at an Ivy League school, you can't play in sports. And so any of those seniors who would have graduated and maybe could have done the, oh, I'm going to take some classes toward my master's and play at the same time, they can't do that. So how's the transfer rule going to play in there? Will Ivy League schools seniors get a blanket transfer, or will seniors in general get a blanket transfer? You know, that could be interesting.
Yeah. And you've got like the service academies where, you know, they're going to have service commitments afterwards. There's a lot of different, there's a lot of unique situations, but you're also just going to have a lot of schools are going to be like, you know what? I mean, there's a lot of schools that aren't paying the 11.7.
Yeah.
That aren't funding that much. They're not going to be for raising these scholarship limits because they're going to see it for them as a competitive disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they're not going to use them anyway. So everyone else goes to 15, that's going to still be at 9 or whatever they are doing now.
Yeah.
It's so complicated. They're going to have to put some committee together, maybe some of the top coaches and the top administrators, because and this can't be one person's decision.
Yeah.
I'd say athletes as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There should be some student representatives. Because this is, it goes so far into, like I said, the sophomore year of high school. And just think what happened to these kids already, right? The seniors lost the whole senior year, basically. Graduation, the whole thing. Yep. Seniors in high school, they're not going to have a season. They're not going to have the end of their season. Like, nobody's going back. This thing's going to go into the summer easily. And will there be a draft? Who knows? They might just backload all these kids for next year. I don't know. It's a safety precaution that has to be made, but it's really complicated.
For
this to work, it's going to have to be like a 4 or 5 year window or black hole of resetting a lot of things that we're talking about, and then maybe this advances other things down the road, or maybe things go back to status quo after this. But there's at least going to be 4 or 5 years for the freshmen to get through and before, you know, you can go back to at least what we consider normal right now.
Maybe it'll be better, though. You never know. Maybe it'll work out better.
You know what? I think they want to make it better, and this might be the catalyst that sends it down that road, because we've been hearing that. And they've been minor, but they've been making adjustments. Granted, I know they didn't vote for the third paid assistant, but the vote was close. It was really close. They are making more inroads with Major League Baseball. They had agreed, it's not going to happen now, obviously, but they had agreed to have the draft at Omaha right before the College World Series, no longer have the draft competing with Super Regionals.
This gives them carte blanche to do what they want to do to advance the sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the question is this, you know, the thing is, this isn't just baseball.
Yeah.
This is other sports. So are they just going to try to blanket it through for all sports to just get through this window and go back to normal? Or are they going to take advantage of each individual sport and trying to tweak things with that?
Mm-hmm. And I also, there's a few other things that kind of came up in a lot of the discussions. One of the ones I will bring about here is what I wanted to bring up was something that I saw. I'm pretty sure it was 11.7 that on their Twitter page that talked about the fact that this is a good opportunity. This is an opportunity for if there is a program out there or two that are looking to bring baseball back, because baseball was dropped by a lot of different programs over the years. I mean, like Indiana, you know, baseball is a lot of schools' first program, was their first sports program was baseball. But to this day, Wisconsin, it's been a while, has not had a baseball program. I think this is a great opportunity because you're going to see so much more talent out there, particularly if some of the discussion, I mean, the Big Ten before all this happened backed eliminating the year penalty for transfer rules. And one of the other Power Five conferences backed it as well. I think it was the ACC. So if that becomes part of this, like, hey, this is a good reason to get rid of that transfer rule, then you may see more transfers, but there could be more talent out there and an opportunity for schools that have been thinking about getting back into the sport, because a lot of schools have, several schools have gotten back into the sport lately. Big Ten's a Power Five conference, and the Big Ten's not complete with just 13 schools. Wisconsin's should be part of the mix. I think this is an opportunity for Wisconsin to jump back in and put a baseball team together. Just my thought. That's my soapbox.
Well, and another thing, I had seen an idea about actually continuing the 2020 season in the fall, which would be a scheduling nightmare anyway, and then have the draft after that. But one thing that could be readily available in the fall would maybe be an expansion of those fall ball games, because they're limited on the number of other teams they can play, games against other teams they can play in the fall. So maybe you expand that, give a little more time in the fall to play other teams. It might not matter too much from anything other than a training standpoint, but that could be an option that they could theoretically open up.
They would have to add games to that year schedule though, right? Because doesn't it start, don't they count the 56 or whatever, just starting from
right,
the fall?
Right, I think it's fall to spring, but they could make a one-time exception of, yeah, you played, what, like 15, 16 games
right
in the spring, so we're going to give you guys a few extra in the fall.
Yeah.
Could be a one-time exception.
And then if you really wanted to get the opportunity, especially with the expanded rosters, I say you play doubleheaders and you have different rosters for each game.
Yeah.
So you have almost like a JV game, yeah, followed by a varsity game type situation.
Yeah.
Then you can actually do like a whole series. So instead of playing, you know, you could, instead of playing the, you know, the fall World Series or the cream and crimson game or whatever it is, you actually do a series against another team.
Yeah. Like a split squad, like a spring training split,
yeah,
squad.
Exactly, a split squad. Yeah.
I think, yep, we'll have enough players because right, if this thing,
yeah,
fills out, we might have 55 guys in fall ball.
Yeah.
You never know. This could be a little wild. I think we had 40-something this year, right? So you're going to easily add another 10.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it'll be a split squad. Listen, they're going to need to play. I mean, this is a whole season gone for them, but it's gone for everybody, so.
Yeah.
Well, just imagine being an athlete, you can't play. It's got to be the biggest, it's got to just be such a killer. Yeah. All you want to do is play.
Even summer ball could be up in the air at the start of summer ball season.
I wouldn't think that's playing at all.
It's questionable. And so
I don't think the NBA is going to be back by July.
Yeah.
MLB's, I don't think they're going to worry about a summer ball league.
MLB's postponing minimum 2 months start. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't think there's any summer ball at all. I could be wrong, obviously, but it wouldn't be a priority, I wouldn't think.
No.
Because you got to get these other sports back rolling.
Now, if it does start to die down as it gets really warmer, could see maybe MLB put on some kind of showcase league series, whatever, from a scouting perspective.
No, like the Future Stars games they do for the high school kids, but they would do it for college kids.
For
that
college
would be
kids.
Cool. That would be cool.
That could be an option.
Yeah. But they wouldn't have to pay to go.
Right.
That would be the difference. And
right,
they shouldn't have to.
Right.
They should all be – they need to take care of these guys. This is a situation nobody saw coming. It's nobody's fault.
Yeah.
You know, people want to blame here or there, but it's not these kids' fault. That's for sure.
No. But when you see two teams go into quarantine for travel-related stuff, it brings the point home. So. No.
I have to think that there is a potential for a change in the power structure of college baseball. Mm-hmm. Josh, do you have any thoughts on that?
You know what, man, we talked about this last night, and you and I had completely different views on this. You were talking about, you know, some of the freshmen that are coming from the SEC schools or bigger conferences moving to the Big Ten or some lower to maybe balance power out that way. What terrifies me about that, especially if you get rid of the 1 year transfer, is, hey, you have a guy at a Big Ten school that breaks out, and then if he doesn't have to sit, then maybe one of the SEC or bigger teams can poach him from you. So that can go both ways. So that will be very interesting if that comes up. And that's the reason why I wouldn't think that would happen, is just because of the chaos that could cause. But hey, we don't have a clue how this is going to go down. But yeah, if that goes through, be leery on both sides, because it could work either way. Yeah.
There was
like to pick our sophomore Kyle Schwarber will get taken from us. We won't get him as a junior. Oh, yeah.
Hey, never know.
It'll be a fantasy draft. That would feel like a fantasy draft every season. That would not be cool.
Which is why I like college baseball and college sports in general better than pro, is because it's not a free agency thing all the time. You know, you can kind of get familiar, at least, you know, if they're draft eligible sophomores, you got at least 2 years, but more than likely you've got three or four with them. And, you know, sometimes in the pro ranks, hey, they're mercenaries, highest bidder.
Cassidy?
Oh, I was just going to say, not only do we not know how any of this is going to shake out, NCAA doesn't know how any of this is going to shake out yet. So,
yeah. What I had kind of wanted to say from the parity perspective was that the impact I see, even if there isn't a giant rule change, we're looking at larger rosters. I mean, we're looking at least a greater quantity of talent. And even if that ends up, I mean, that might end up pushing out some guys. But you take, and my favorite example is last year's regional, Illinois State. They beat Indiana in the first game with their Friday night guy. They then go on to upset Louisville. So they're sitting in the catbird seat 2-0. Indiana and Louisville get into that, really, we all remember that game. And then Louisville, after that game, has got to go, and in order to advance, Louisville's got to beat Illinois State twice. And they go on and do it. And how do they do it? Well, it's because a program like Louisville has got so much depth in pitching that they can even be a game behind, where they've played an extra game, and they can still have a massive advantage playing a team like Illinois State and be able to beat them twice. And I'm just wondering, in the next few years, if we're going to see more of these regionals where we're going to see upsets because these other teams have good quality pitching that's going on Sundays and weekdays.
Yeah, could be that. We've talked about that before, but it just popped into my head when you said that right there. That's kind of like what separates in football, what separates the power teams like Ohio State and the lesser teams. You know, they can hang with them for three quarters, but then you don't have enough bodies to close it out. And that's when this real separation comes. And so, yeah, that, I don't know, that just popped into my head when you said that, but yeah, if that talent can kind of be, you get bigger rosters and you get to keep some of those guys, and hey, one or two guys can make a big difference in a regional for sure.
Yep.
We do have some content on the site related to the events that we've been experiencing. Cassidy wrote a very good article based on her other life. Cass, do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit. I won't go as in-depth in the article. If you really want an in-depth on the kind of public health side of all of this, you can go to iubase.com, read the website. But I am an epidemiologist. Now I work with injury epidemiology, violent death. Infectious disease is not necessarily my normal wheelhouse at this stage. But the biggest thing from all of this is, as a lot of you have probably seen, flatten the curve. it just means don't overwhelm the health system all at the same time. If everyone is getting sick at the same time, then all of those who would get really sick are getting really sick at the same time, and hospitals have limited resources. Most of the time it's not an issue. This is an exception. We've seen in Italy making decisions on who gets care. We've got three people who need a ventilator. We've got one ventilator left. These are the kinds of decisions that could make it this way. That's why people are being encouraged to stay home, not be in group. The number is now 10. Don't be in groups of 10 people or more.
That went down real quick, didn't it? I remember it was like hundreds, then it was 50. Now it's 10.
Yep. And that's a sobering thought. That is a sobering thought that a group of 10 people, how often, I mean, the tailgate for IU baseball is more than that every home weekend. While for most people, COVID-19, if they were to get it, would not be a big deal. For a not insignificant 20%, 1 in 5 are going to have complications severe enough to require hospitalization. That's what we're up against, and that's why it's sacrificing for the good of everybody. And anytime you've got the word sacrifice there, it's gonna suck. Sacrifice is never fun, but it is sometimes necessary.
Well, at this point, you know, things are, you know, a little slow. So Cass has come up with a great idea to keep us entertained, at least for the next 15, 16 days. So Cass, take it away.
Yeah, so I thought, you know, in line with, you know, we don't have brackets. We didn't have a real selection Sunday. Why not make our own? And I figure what better way to do it than some baseball movies. Give some people some ideas of things that they can watch while they're stuck at home. And so we put together a baseball movie bracket, and we're doing it poll style. So every day from the iubase.com Twitter account, we will release the poll for a single matchup. Winner moves on, loser goes home, and we'll see what the favorite movie is. We've got four regions. We've got the who's on first region, the 90% mental region, the deja vu all over again region, and the ain't over till it's over region. You can tell there's a lot of Yogi Berra influence in there. The first poll went out on Monday morning, and as of now, when we're recording this, Major League is leading Mr. Baseball by a convincing margin. But we'll release one a day for the next, whatever it is, 15, 16 days. And anytime that a movie is available for streaming on a platform for free with that subscription, I will include that in the tweet as well, if anyone wants to watch any of those movies. And if you want to go to the tweet itself, there's been some good discussion on what movies were included, what movies weren't included, how the seeding went. You don't realize until you're trying to seed a bracket like this just how hard it is to seed a movie bracket. And not even seeding. Then once you've decided what the seeds are, dividing the brackets in a somewhat even manner and not getting all of the Kevin Costner movies in one bracket. So there's definitely some discussion to be had on what we've chosen, but we went with what we thought would be the most fun for a 2-week long bracket. So get onto Twitter, take a look, and put in your 2 cents every day, and we'll see what the consensus favorite baseball movie is. So this will take us to about the end of March. As we've kind of talked about, there's not a whole lot going on right now. College baseball, alums in the majors, there's not a lot of content there right now. We do have some ideas that we would like to try to work on, but don't expect regular podcast, regular content from us. We're going to see what we can get going in the spring and what we might have to push off a little bit. So expect to hear from us a little bit, but not a ton and not every week like normal during the season. So about time to hand it over to Josh to wrap this thing up.
All right. Well, that will do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Read up on Indiana Baseball at iubase.com. Follow us on Twitter at CUatTheBart and at iubase17. For Carl James, Chris Feeney, and Cassidy Palmer, I'm Josh Bennett, and eventually we'll see you back at the Bart.